Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's Future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast, a special timely podcast on the subject of coronavirus. There's a lot happening worldwide in terms of the speed with which this pandemic is progressing. We're talking to an expert on integrative medicine, but he has done a deep dive on the subject of COVID-19. What are some of the features of the virus, the coronavirus, that causes this disease, and what are some of the implications for use or withholding use of some of the natural products that we've come to rely on for immune support? And also, you know, what about some of the innovative, high-tech medical solutions that are being proposed? So, Leo, you were talking about the ACE2 pathway and how enhancing ACE2 might be a useful strategy versus the coronavirus. What are some of the natural agents that support that?
First of all, I mean, from a dietary perspective, a plant-based, high polyphenol diet, from a lifestyle perspective, aerobic exercise, the kinds of things that are associated with protection against high blood pressure. Associated with enhanced ACE2 activity.
Sequestration at home, is not the best strategy. You know, maybe get out there. All the gyms are closed, but get out there and take a brisk walk or jog. If that's what you're used to.
Changes that are going to happen overnight anyway.
Right.
It takes time, and I think to try and get out ahead of it is important. There are a number of specific polyphenols that are helpful, and they're very widely used. Curcumin, for example, has protective effects on ACE2 activity. These are all in experimental studies. Resveratrol. I mean, those are two of the most widely used and studied polyphenols, in nutritional medicine today. And, they're not very well absorbed. So finding well absorbed forms and taking them, because they will accumulate in tissues, is something that I have been recommending to patients. They're easy to find. They're all over the place.
Oregano is popular these days for prevention?
So oregano, the ingredient in oregano that was shown to be helpful is rosmarinic acid, which is also found in rosemary and a number of other herbs and spices.
Okay. There is a unique ingredient which you talk about in a paper that you shared with me. It's a peptide called Ang-1-7, and that sounds like something that is it's in between a natural supplement and a prescription drug. It can be made by compounding pharmacies, may soon be available, you write?
I hope so. At present, let's just, angiotensin 1-7 or Ang-1-7 is a peptide of seven amino acids. It is the end product of ACE2 activity. And a lot of the anti-inflammatory benefits of ACE2 are the result of ANG1-7. And what I am certainly hoping to see is the availability of that, so that there can be some clinical trials with it to see if it, again, this is not something to prevent infection. It is something to help people who get infected stay in that 80% who don't get very sick.
Mm-hmm.
And if the majority of the population, if 70% of the population, is in that 80%, then you get herd immunity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is gonna go away and stay away.
Well, let's talk about keep on the subject of supplements, but now that you mention it, you know, what's the end game? Historically, even the most terrible scourges, you know, the Black Plague, Ebola, they seem to burn themselves out. How does that happen in nature, and how can we sort of coax that to its end game?
Well, I mean, they're different mechanisms, and if we knew more about this virus, it's just very new, having only been described about 3 or 4 months ago. So it's hard to know exactly what the end game is. Is this going to be seasonal, the way influenza is?
Mm-hmm. Well, in other words, will it be a perennial? Will it establish itself?
Right, will it even
mutate to a milder form or perhaps a more virulent form? That's actually what happened with Spanish flu.
Right.
The first go around with Spanish flu was pretty severe, but much more devastating after it came back with vengeance in the fall of, I guess it was 1919.
Right. Well, one of the things about pathogenic microbes is if you make it easy for them to get from one person to another, they will tend to increase in virulence.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you make it difficult, the ones that will, I mean, they're not doing this, there's no mind here, it's mm-hmm. just simple math.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that don't make you so sick are the ones that are going to proliferate, because if you're not so sick, you'll be able to spread it more readily to the next person.
Mm-hmm.
So what will evolve with regard to those microbes is that the less virulent forms will predominate.
No, it's a sort of a stealth mechanism for their perpetuation, in effect. It's a natural selection.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that actually these measures like social distancing
mm-hmm.
not only decrease our exposure, they have the potential to change the mm-hmm. virus itself.
Hashtag flatten the curve.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Well, the flatten the curve is our experience of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But actually, I'm talking about changing the virulence of the virus itself,
mm-hmm.
its potential for virulence
mm-hmm.
on an individual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two benefits to it.
There's some talk about, and it's been discounted by the World Health Organization, so we don't want to get that out here as a fait accompli, that a use of ibuprofen can make this worse if you're very sick. If you have a high fever, take Tylenol. I personally suggest that patients weather the fever up to a certain point, up to a temperature of 102.5 or 103, because it's the body's natural defense, and you don't want to put a damper on that.
I have not been able to find any evidence that ibuprofen and other non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs aggravate
mm-hmm.
the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone has some actual data, not just an opinion,
mm.
you know, I'd like to look at it.
Yeah, this is one of those things that just really took off. It was
right.
very viral.
It's like,
you know,
the same
yeah.
thing as don't take ACE inhibitors.
Right, right.
You know, it's an opinion.
There's yeah.
not supported by data and based on possibly faulty theories.
So here's another controversy, and I look at the all the discussion groups about natural products. Elderberry, it's controversial because it, you know, the first recourse when you get the flu, you know, you take a Sambucol or a comparable product because of research that suggests that it's helpful against the flu. But it's also thought that by stimulating the immune system, it could provoke cytokine storm. What's your take
on that? Well, I think there's a particular way to use elderberry. And also the nature of the elderberry product is important. Elderberry has a fairly unique effect in coronavirus infections that's separate from what it does in the flu. Elderberry does have an immune-stimulating effect. It's the polysaccharides, the complex sugars in the elderberry that do that, the same way that mushrooms do. But what's really important in elderberry are the bioflavonoids, in particular the anthocyanins, which give it this intense, deep purple color. Mm-hmm. Because anthocyanins are able to inhibit a number of enzymes. And the elderberry flavonoids are one of the few natural substances that inhibit an enzyme produced by the virus called 3CL protease, which is an essential mechanism for the virus to spread within your body. 3CL protease breaks down your cells and allows the virus to escape.
And this actually is in the common parlance, you know, when we talk about our AIDS drugs or HIV medications, they're protease inhibitors.
Protease inhibitors, right. Yeah, these viral proteases are an important part of viral spread in the body. Mm-hmm. So, and there are some trials using AIDS protease inhibitors in people who are sick with this. But elderberry inhibits the 3CL protease of coronavirus. And the way that I recommend people use elderberry is twofold. First of all, find a product that in which the flavonoid content is listed, because all elderberry isn't going to be the same. Mm-hmm. Although I will say, if it's pure elderberry, the darker, mm-hmm. the better.
Okay.
I think it's best used preventively. The laboratory studies that were done found that the elderberry extracts worked best if the cells were treated with them before the virus entered the cell, but then continue them for a few days. If elderberry is going to work for you, you will either not get very sick, or you won't get very sick, I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. If you've been sick for 5 days and seem to be getting worse, stop elderberry, because the 3CL protease inhibition isn't working, and there is this danger of, it's an unanswered question, could elderberry and other immune boosters provoke a cytokine storm?
Right, in other words, by revving up the immune system in an unfavorable way. There's been some talk about melatonin, you know, based on, you know, what to me is, seems like plausible virology based on an Italian paper. The Italians tend to have a bias towards melatonin. That's one of their
Italians love melatonin.
Italians love melatonin. But what they're saying, and there's charts that very neatly plot levels of melatonin in toddlers, children, young adolescents, and then it declines precipitously, and the elderly have virtually none compared to younger individuals, and that's the pattern of this epidemic to some extent, the mortality. Do you find that biologically plausible?
Yeah, it is. And melatonin has boosts T helper 1 immunity. So it is an immune modulator, and there may be something to it. The question is, what's an appropriate dose? Because the normal amount of melatonin that's being produced in a healthy pineal gland is maybe 0.6 milligrams mm-hmm. a day.
For oncological purposes, we can go much higher, you know, 20, 40.
I've used 30 to 40 milligrams
right,
in cancer
right.
patients.
Right, exactly.
But not everybody can tolerate that kind of dose.
Mm-hmm. They get weird sleep, nightmares, whatever.
Yeah, hungover. Mm-hmm. So that that's a supplement with a lot of side effects, mm-hmm. potentially.
Yeah, in susceptible individuals.
Whereas resveratrol, curcumin, elderberry, usually very well tolerated.
So hopeful information, and this has actually made it to a couple of presidential press conferences. The president had been criticized because he's seemed so enthusiastic about it, but actually there seem to be some scientific bona fides to the use of a very old-fashioned drug. You know, we both have been around in medicine for quite a long time. Plaquenil or hydroxychloroquine has been used for malaria. It's also been used in rheumatology. It's a pretty good anti-inflammatory. That combined with Zithromax, which is an antibiotic, in a study done in Marseille, small study, but, you know, it at least, I mean, it's a formal study, seemed to put the brakes on the virus.
Right. What happened, just to go into the background of that. So during the SARS epidemic, chloroquine, which is a precursor of hydroxychloroquine or Plaquenil, was used kind of inconsistently to treat patients in Asia. And that's an old anti-malarial drug that's been around for a long time. And there were reports in which it seemed to be beneficial. Just last week, a Chinese research group published a study comparing chloroquine with hydroxychloroquine and in a laboratory setting, and found that the hydroxychloroquine was very effective, more so than chloroquine. And they proposed a dosing schedule that was only 5 days mm-hmm. to treat people who were COVID-19 positive. Now, what the French did was they compared a no treatment or standard treatment or antibiotics mm-hmm. or whatever people are getting with the hydroxychloroquine alone and hydroxychloroquine plus azithromycin. Mm-hmm. And this was a short study. It was 6 days, and they looked at the viral load mm-hmm. and it declined. It didn't decline with the standard treatment. Mm-hmm. It declined pretty well, pretty sharply, with the hydroxychloroquine alone, and even more sharply mm-hmm. when the two drugs were combined.
Well, you know, this is kind of counterintuitive because, you know, they say, look, don't take an antibiotic, you know, you've got that, you know, whatever, cold or something, which is a coronavirus. And yeah, it's a waste of time because, you know, don't take that Z-Pack because that's overkill. It's not a bacterial infection, and Z-Pack or azithromycin works against bacteria, not viruses. So don't be a dummy and don't increase antibiotic resistance by taking a shot in an antibiotic unnecessarily.
Well, there's no evidence that azithromycin works by itself. The mechanism by which the hydroxyplaquenil works is there are actually multiple antiviral mechanisms. And an important one has to do with acid alkaline balance in the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Plaquenil is often used in conjunction with azithromycin or Biaxin or doxycycline in treating certain bacterial infection.
Anti-inflammatory effect, actually, too.
Right. Well, all of those do, mm-hmm. actually. Azithromycin has an anti-inflammatory mm-hmm. effect. So does mm-hmm. clarithromycin. Mm-hmm. So a lot of antibiotics actually have anti-inflammatory activity as well as the antimicrobial effects. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the molecular basis for the synergy between these drugs are and whether azithromycin by itself would do anything. Unfortunately, you can't, hydroxychloroquine has just about disappeared from the shelves
mm-hmm, right.
since, the announcement that was made by,
it's created sort of a stampede, and I've gotten, sort of anguished, requests from patients, you know, can you send us some, hydroxychloroquine? I said, there's not much I could do about it because I'm out of the country and, you know, I just got back.
The NIH or the CDC has said, well, we need to do a clinical trial before we advocate it. I don't think there's enough time to do a clinical trial.
I think everything's being sped up, and whatever they're going to do, they're going to probably do it on a accelerated
well,
basis.
Well, it's got to be, right. Well, you're going to know very quickly. The French knew in 6 days.
So,
and
but
the responsible thing to do would be for the government to start getting
gearing up.
This made.
Yep, gearing up. And it's an easy drug to melt, although, unfortunately, we're so dependent on the Chinese supply chain for some of these meds. So that's part of a problem. Is it a reasonable proposition for people to stockpile, should they be able to get their hands on it, hydroxychloroquine and just take it prophylactically? That's actually been proposed.
There are people who use it long term for rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's disease, and other conditions.
Got to get your eyes checked. I mean, there's some downsides.
Right. There is toxicity with it, both acute and chronic.
Right.
And so if you're going to wind up taking it for 6 months, because that's how long this epidemic may be going on, it's certainly not something I would recommend for the broad population, because you'd wind up having too many side effects, too much toxicity.
Exactly.
I think it makes a lot more sense to use it, if you can get it, the way the Chinese are recommending. 5 days, maybe 10 days, no longer.
There's also, you mentioned in a document that you shared with me, the potential benefits of probiotics. How does that work?
Well, the gut bacteria have a significant impact on immune function and innate immunity, in particular. And so there is a potential role as part of an immune enhancing protocol to use not only mushrooms and elderberry before infection, but certain prebiotics and probiotics.
Do you have any favorites or strain?
Of all of the probiotics that has been studied and shown to have immune boosting effects, Lactobacillus plantarum is probably the lead there. Mm-hmm. It's a naturally found in fermented vegetables. So an alternative is that you eat sauerkraut and other fermented vegetables.
Mm-hmm. What about some of the sort of tried and true basic nutrients? Less esoteric things like vitamin D and selenium and zinc. Do they have a role here?
Right. D is very important. D has known antiviral effects by stimulating something called the cathelicidin pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially through the winter, people should be supplementing with D.
Mm-hmm.
I think that zinc is important for a lot of people. You have to be a little cautious with zinc. Two things about zinc. First of all, if you take too much, it has the opposite effect.
It's immunosuppressive,
It becomes immunosuppressive. And there is this advice circulating on the internet to suck on zinc lozenges.
Yeah, well.
Claiming that they kill the virus.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, is irresponsible. It's highly unlikely that the time of contact or the concentration of zinc that you get in your throat would be enough to kill the virus.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause they've looked at, unlike cold viruses, and there is a role of zinc in preventing rhinovirus infection, which may or may not apply to the coronaviruses that are also some causes of the common cold. But unlike the cold viruses, COVID-19 is fairly resistant to the effects of metals. That is, copper will kill the coronavirus that causes colds in 60 seconds.
Mm.
It takes 4 hours with COVID-19.
So we can't extrapolate from experience
and those,
with colds.
And copper works better than zinc at killing those viruses.
Mm-hmm. N-acetylcysteine times I've had the flu, I take a little more N-acetylcysteine, especially if you're taking Tylenol, which tends to deplete your glutathione production.
NAC is a very good flu preventive. There was a study done in Australia in a retirement community, people 65 and older, where half the population took NAC, and it wasn't a high dose. It was 600 milligrams twice a day throughout the winter. The other half got placebo. And they looked at who got the flu and who got sick. It turned out that in both groups, there was a flu epidemic, some kind of H1N1, I think, that swept through the community. And about 80% of people in that community got the flu, whether they were getting NAC or not. But the people who were taking NAC had one-third the extent of illness as the people who are not. So it didn't prevent the flu. It made the response to the flu much less harmful.
There's been some research on traditional Chinese herbs, and I know the Chinese, the Chinese have been coping with these kinds of epidemics for more than centuries, millennia, and they've evolved traditional Chinese medicine to deal with pneumonias and respiratory problems, probably caused by viruses that are similar to this.
There are studies, there were a lot of studies, actually, that looked at the outcome of SARS in China, where most of the world's SARS cases were. And they compared patients who had received traditional Chinese medicine coupled with Western medicine versus people who had received Western medicine alone. And there was no significant difference in mortality. The people who had gotten the Chinese herbs did had fewer symptoms, but they weren't less likely to survive. And, of course, in all those settings, that those particular formulas are started after the person is sick and in the hospital. So, but because of that experience, I haven't looked strongly to herbs in traditional Chinese medicine. But there are a couple that have that are interesting. One of them that's the most interesting is the name that's difficult to pronounce, Hutunia cordata. And this, like elderberry, is a 3CL protease inhibitor. That has been studied for its 3CL protease effects, but not specifically in any clinical setting. It is one of the herbs that would have been used in the in some of the centers where Chinese traditional Chinese medicine was used. And there's a lot of interest in andrographis, which is an immune-boosting antiviral herb with a high safety profile.
That's somewhat so interesting. I just added andrographis to my personal regimen.
Yeah, and it's anti-inflammatory because there are studies indicating that it was helpful with ulcerative colitis. The challenge is basically finding a product that's high enough quality and that concentrates the active ingredients.
Yeah, and that, it's an interesting perspective that you bring to that, because it's not just enough to buy something that has the right name. You know, one of the things that, you know, you do a lot of due diligence on is to source products of the highest quality for your patients. And I know you're very eclectic in terms of where you search high and low for the best quality products that really deliver the promise of some of the things that we talk about here. All right, we covered a lot of ground, and this is an emerging picture, so we may circle back and, you know, once we learn more about this and there's some new revelations, I'm sure there are things to add to the story. But do you have any final words for our audience?
Well, actually, your words that this is an emerging picture are really on target. If we were to be talking in 2 or 3 weeks, we might be having a very different discussion. The emphasis at this time is on protection and prevention and what you can do to not get infected by utilizing the kind of hygiene techniques that have been, that are being recommended. I think that the lockdown of New York State is really important. I think the whole country should be locked down this way. It's the only way that this is really going to, that the tide will be turned on this. But if Texas isn't paying attention to the epidemic and all those kids that were on the beach in Florida for spring break go home, I mean, it's just feeding there needs to be better education of the public and better leadership of what we need to do, because we've been floundering.
Indeed. All right.
Okay.
Is there any resources that you can point our way to? I know that you haven't published online some of these protocols.
In fact, I haven't even. It's taken me so much time to pull this data together that I have created a document for my patients, but I haven't even. Usually, I like to put references in.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even been able to do that. It would have tripled the amount of time it took. I'm trying to figure out the best venue for putting this some of this up, and we can talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whenever you put that up, because I think you're very authoritative in this area, we'll hasten to get the word out. You know, through whatever means possible. You know, I'll share the listing with our followers on Facebook and Twitter, and through our website. If you get to the point of again, it's such a moving target that literally, you know, you sent me something a couple of days ago, and then 48 hours there was a revision, you know, with an update.
Yeah, I'm checking the news feeds and the science that's coming out twice a day. While I'm trying to do everything else to run my practice, and then I'm. Every
not to mention
days,
protect your family and, you know,
yeah,
and
right.
survive in the hot zone in New York City.
And then at night I'm, you know, a couple of nights a week I'm revising what I've written because things come up that answer mm-hmm. questions that weren't answered.
Just curious question. You know, you live in an apartment in New York City down on 19th Street. I'm up on 47th Street. You know, you mentioned that it's kind of fun because you go out in the street and it's hard, you know, very few people. But what do you do about going?
It was always this empty, but
yeah. What do you do for, you know, when you go for food or you know, how are you going about that? Are you putting a mask on? Are you using
we're
gloves?
We're getting deliveries.
You're getting deliveries. Okay.
We're leaving the boxes outside.
Mm-hmm.
We're discarding the boxes. We're cleaning all the contents that have been handled.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that masks are actually all that helpful.
Right, and that's what the dictum is that for the general public, the masks are not that helpful, but maybe for healthcare workers.
Right. It's not easy to use an N95 respirator, and they're very uncomfortable.
Yep.
If you're just walking around.
Having tried that, yeah.
But, right. And soap and water kill the virus better than anything else.
Yeah,
break up the viral envelope.
Mm-hmm.
So soap and water is really good.
All right. Well,
okay.
Thank you very much for you know, for your fidelity to the truth. That's something that I've known you to always be in quest of, and you know, you're really on the case with this current crisis. So keep abreast of any further developments, and we'll share them with the public.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you, Ron. Thanks for having me on and allowing me to get these ideas out.
It's my great pleasure. That was Dr. Leo Galland, practices here in New York. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As you know, this is a vital time to bolster our immune defenses. I've received countless requests for a specific list of supplements that I recommend to support immune health. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Immune Support Protocol, my supplement recommendations offering the greatest boost for your immune system when it's needed most. Best medicine is preventive medicine. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for more information. drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the immune support protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links for our supplement starter kit, heart health protocol, and much more. These protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take for myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free priority shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com.